What up, turds? It's live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.coms and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters, official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, writer of said newsletter, and your host for whatever this is, week after week. We've certainly lost any idea of what it was supposed to be and don't know where we're going, but we make the best of what we can work with. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fellsgate. We are coming to you right after the Hawks lose their 18th straight game to the Minnesota Wild, which you'd think would be embarrassing for some teams, but apparently isn't to the Hawks. So we got thoughts on that and whatever comes across our addled little brains. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 7 in the Pacific. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
If we ever felt like rebranding as a Pitbull podcast, we would be faxes from Uncle Dale.
That's very good.
He's right. Mr. Worldwide, goddammit.
You know, my partner went to see Pitbull in Vegas last year.
Did she throw any of her unmentionables at him?
No. So, well, I guess I'd have to talk to her friends to get the real story because she's not going to tell me. But she loved it. Without knowing much about him, she said it was a blast. It's a great Vegas show. And he's just a big dork.
Apparently, to a good friend of mine who's got a sales job now, friend of the pod, even though he has never listened and never will, Adam Tatro. was at some convention where Pitbull was like the last minute replacement for playing it. And he said it was a fucking riot also somewhere in Florida. Again, no interest in the music, but said it's a hell of a show.
Anyway, those are the dulcet tones of our technical supervisor and our supervising technician. He's also Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Slancha.
Slancha. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
And also with you.
And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
We also had Pitbull lined up to play at our convention, and he priced himself out.
Well, that's on you.
Yeah, I think so.
Either you meet the demands or you don't.
He had made an agreement, and then all of a sudden there was another $300,000 added to his thing strictly for flying people out to his show and for their hotel and room and board.
God, can you imagine just being able to ask for $300,000?
Yes.
Typically you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You think you're going to get it.
Uh-huh. I mean, I've asked for $300,000 recently, and I still haven't got it for something that's arguably more valuable than Pitbull. But
yeah, for 45 minutes of Pitbull running around on the stage.
I mean, is it more valuable than 45 minutes of Pitbull Slack, really?
To me, it is, Tim.
All right, then. We've had enough merriment. We should probably get into the sludge. The discussion on the real show in the past few days, for those who'd like to know what we do in our spare time, which is nothing, and nothing you should know about, and certainly nothing you should be jealous of. With the point tonight, the Hawks now have one more point than they did in all of last season. They have 15 games to go, and so I'm supposed to sit here, and they will say it, but this is progress.
Progress.
John, I'm sure you're going to tell me why I'm wrong, and I'd love to hear why I'm wrong, because it doesn't feel like progress.
No, it doesn't look like progress.
It doesn't look like progress, but on paper and on their sales sheets for your season tickets next year, that is what they're going to point to.
Now,
because
what is
they might
the
end
deal?
Up with 70, 71 points,
What's
right?
What's the but deal?
What is the deal, Sam? Why, you had mentioned this in the real show too, and I didn't ask you, but I want to grill you now in front of the children.
Grilling.
Why is there such a huge jump in overtime and regulation, or a huge disparity between regulation wins and overtime wins this year? It seems like a lot of teams are gaining points because the a good amount of games are headed to overtime. So there's an inflated point total across the league. Is that
coaches are conservative bitches?
Well, the going theory is that with the crunched schedule due to the Olympics, you have teams that are tired, teams that are injured, teams that are poor and huddled masses.
There it is.
My back hurt. My neck hurt. I'm tired.
I'm tired. I'm beat up. And the teams just don't have the steam to close each other out in regulation as often as they did. I think there's some probably credence to that. If you're playing your fourth game in 7 nights or fourth game in 6 nights and you're clinging to a 2-1 lead, it's probably harder to hold on. And if the game's 2-2 with 8 minutes to go, you might just think, you know what, let's get our point and we'll take our chances in 3-3. Because the thing is with, you know, 3-on-3 really does level out the whole league, right? Like every team could put out at least one decent to actually very good 3-man unit. Even the Hawks can. So you're basically saying, well, if we get there, we have it's exactly a 50-50 chance because we can put out two scorers and one good defenseman. And we'll get the puck at some point.
Will you, though, as tonight's
exhibit? Well, as tonight proved, you might actually not. But you can see where the Wild, holding onto a one-goal lead and having played however many games they've played, don't really fuss giving it up, proven by their line change with a minute and a half to go. Because they went, well, we'll just throw Quinn Hughes out there in overtime and we're probably going to win. So that is some of the inflation of the Hawks' point total. And I will argue it is inflation. That they have gotten a few more games to overtime. Their overtime record still stinks. But there are more of them than there were last year. So there's a couple points out there. Some would argue, oh, well, they're good enough to actually stretch games beyond 60 minutes, so that's improvement. I don't know that I buy that. That's probably all Spencer Knight. And that's not to discount Spencer Knight. He is an actual step forward for this team from last season.
He's a legitimate, I would say, not like upper echelon, like perennial Vezina guy, but like
he hasn't proven that yet, but
he's a real-ass goalie.
Top 15, yeah. Top 10, maybe even. If he peaks one season and everything goes right, you could see where he might sneak a Vezina finalist one year. So I don't want to discount that factor because that's a real thing. If people want to come here and say the point total is only better because Spencer Knight's in goal,
Bernard,
well, that's
Burakovsky,
something. It's
yeah,
not
that's
enough.
A guy who's here. He's not like
right.
He's not some acquisition who's unaffordable for next year.
It's not a theory. It's not a guy who's playing in Hockey East and lighting it up, or you know, is a point per game in the OHL like everyone else in the OHL.
And he's played 45 games so far. So, like, right. That's an actual starter's load, if you'll pardon the expression.
Hello.
T. Diddley.
Steve. All right. Hey, buddy. But, John, I turn it to you. What should every Hawks fan, not just our listeners, every Hawks fan feel about the progression, quote unquote, of the Hawks from last year to this year?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on how you want to look at it. If it's strictly the point total that you're looking at, then I think you could make the argument, and I'm sure the freaks will, that this is headed in the right direction now. But, you know, that just makes next season all the more important because if you make this jump now, so we have, 16 games left to go? They just improved on their point total by one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say they
32 points on offer to go.
32 points on offer, and let's say you get half of them.
All right, that's 77 points. 78 points.
Bad.
Okay. It is bad. Like, that's the thing. You're so far away from a playoff spot.
But then you could make the jump next year by – you could say, okay, if you make that same improvement next year, then you're in the 90-point – total, and you're
knocking on the door. You're playing
right.
Important
and
games.
I would say to the people who say that, and I know John is not one of them, there's every single person I hear from says there's no one to sign and you can't acquire anyone, so what there's nothing they can do. Sorry, too bad.
But it's
20
just
extra
through
points?
Trades.
Well,
and Kyle won't do that.
Everyone else says that's not happening, so tell me how you get 20 points.
Well, they will say we're doing this show again.
Okay, but that's I think what, to answer your question.
Yeah,
I'm more concerned about the jump from 78 points to a real ass season.
Right, it's a harder jump.
Yeah,
I just sort of I look at this and I'm like, well, it's the sort of the Principal Skinner. Am I crazy? You know, because like they, because before the season, we said they had to take a leap of 10 to 15 points at least. And they're going to do that, most likely. I mean, if they went like 2-15 to end the season, that would be hilarious. But I don't think that's on the cards.
Not if Nazar is actually going to start scoring like he has. Right. That's helpful.
He's been better of late.
Yes.
But it is March. It's the end of March when he tends to be good.
It's garbage time.
Right. So right.
It's Josh Giddey's Mickey Mouse March.
Right.
It's Ian Happ's September.
Yeah, I wrote about this for those who didn't see it. I tried to go a little deeper and try and figure out what is behind this. And what I don't really see a difference in the underlying numbers. They're slightly better offensively by like a percentage point. They are, or you know, 1/10 of a point slightly better defensively. But I think our main complaint, the four of us, and I don't, how come nobody's talking about the McCaskies, if you'll allow me, when I see Greater Hawks discussion, I feel like we're the only ones who are talking about, yeah, but like look how this is getting done. This is, they averaged what, 21 shots over the last 20 games or whatever. It's very boring. It's very defensive. And I look at Levshinov tonight, and
and six of your nine top three line guys are over 30.
I look at Levshinov tonight. Now, he did have the assist that tied the game, and that was a nice play, but it was also a play he could make standing still. And every time Levshinov seems to get the puck now, especially in the offensive end, his feet stop moving. And I feel like that's the whole team now. Their feet don't move. For a team that was supposed to be built to be fast and hard to play against, they seem to lose every race to a loose puck. And yet, I feel like we're the only ones talking about this, that this is your system? This is your plan? Is this what it was supposed to look like? Is this what Kyle had in mind? Did Kyle have a system in mind? Did he have a style in mind? Or did he just draft a bunch of fast guys and hope they would be fast?
That seems to be more likely.
I'm sure he wants Blazeal to make, ham salad out of pig shit.
Right?
Well, I think this discussion ties back into what we were saying last week, too, where they're, this 20-point improvement for next year to get to 90 points, that's going to be all on the shoulders of the two kids that are coming over from overseas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have to be the difference. There's no defenseman changes happening.
They have to be,
right?
Most of it, and then growth from your other kids who are already here.
Like, which ones?
Well, that's significant, more significant growth.
They have to get better.
And how are they going to do that playing fucking Sufferpuck?
Well, this is, I suppose, what I'm asking.
That's the question, is because, like I said,
that's what the difference is between this year and last year, is that, like, is that Blazeal is actually, like, he's a replacement level NHL coach, and he can get people to buy into a fucking trap.
Well, isn't this what got Luke fired? Was that?
But it took a while.
he started to play this very conservative, boring system, and they're like, "No, this won't work." So they fired him. They brought up Anders, who had a quote unquote system, and then they realized that wouldn't work.
His
but they
system
have to
is
keep him around.
His ass. That's what his system is.
Only this organization would try a guy as coach, realize he's not a good coach, but like, well, we got to keep him around in case.
And then saddle whoever your fucking prospective coach is going to be with him.
Right. It's Dennis Savard all over again. John's chuckling.
I'm guessing that Blasnil wants to chase these points to teach these people how to win, whatever that means.
Right.
And then next year, theoretically, he would have something in place where he wouldn't have to play this boring, awful style.
If you were actually confident in your own shit, you'd let people like just, and your players, you'd let them go and do what they do.
I just
that's
think
the, right. That's the whole thing.
It's like, that's what I wonder. And that's, I think we talked about this before, but that's where I get frustrated and confused because you're sort of watching it without the context, right? Because if we come into next year and Blashiel says, yep, I was instilling defensive structure and want to, and this year we're going to open it up, and they do open it up, then you'd be like, well, okay, I guess, you know, yeah. Fine.
I'm not calling for the guy's head. He's not getting fired.
No.
Like, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if he was, but there's no grounds for it in the
He's just not.
World. Yeah.
Whether we want it or not.
Right. There's no grounds for that.
No, go ahead, Sam.
No, go. You go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, I'm getting itchy with this at the same things you both are. What I get concerned about now is when I hear him say things in the post game about, oh, well, you know, it's one, these are the small things, it's one goal. Like, they look back at these respectable moonings and they say, and he's saying, you know, look at there's, it's just a difference of one goal. Well, yeah, I mean, you could go
That's
back
how
and
hockey
look at
works.
Right. Exactly. And you can
it's
go back
3-2
to
it's a 3-2 league, Daryl Sutter.
Exactly. You can go back to those Hawk games of yesteryear when they were beating, when they were beating the Wild 3-2 and it might as well have been 12-2
right.
Those games.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, you
just
could,
like
you could
tonight.
Talk about until, yes, exactly. And that's where I'm starting to get itchy to where, this seems like this is the plan, dude.
Yeah. Let Spencer Knight bail you out and barely compete for 2.5 periods and then hope you get a shitty tying goal. In this case, a beautiful tying goal. But then,
right.
You know, you get your pants pulled down in overtime and you get your point. Whatever.
And that's the I mean, it's part of the greater overall discussion we keep having. When I say, like, we don't have any context because Blashiel might do this next year, but there's no track record of him doing it. He certainly didn't do it in Detroit. It wasn't like Detroit played a conservative style, and then before he went out, he's like, well, fuck it. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out guns blazing and took off the shackles. No, they kept playing
that shitty style. The only hockey coach that has ever done that is Lindy Ruff, and God bless him for it.
And God bless him for it. It's not what hockey coaches do. And that's what the rest of – because everyone says, like, well, what do these kids get here? And then this, it's like, but you're not basing that on anything. There's no – you know, we're going to see – I mean – We
you're basing on the Cubs being good in 2015 and 2016.
Except Theo had a track record.
Right.
You know, we have a question about Frondell and Kantsarov in my cretins. You know, I can get to it now. Yeah, I watched Frondell at the WJC. I like what I saw. I think he benefited from playing on what was clearly the best team and clearly the best player in Ivar Stenberg. Now, if the Hawks draft him come April or come May or June, cool, you know, that works for me too.
That's
but,
great.
You know, I have no one's seen Kantsarov. Anyone who's watched says they're watching KHL games is lying. Not even Scott Powers is watching KHL games. He's not. No, I refuse to believe that he has the time or the want to. He gets highlights from
he
somewhere.
He barely even likes hockey. He's admitted as much.
So yeah, and if he and Scott, if you are watching Kantsarov and KHL games, buddy, I gotta tell you,
we're calling DCFS.
Right? I can't tell you. I can tell you he's small and he's skilled, and that's what I can tell you.
Oh, great! Another one of those.
They did want to. There was
Roman
something on the
Salaminen.
I, you know, even though he's a Kraken broadcaster now, Eddie Olczyk is not above doing the Hawks propaganda when he's in town. And so there was a nice long soliloquy about Ilya Mikheyev.
Yes, there was.
Oh, indeed.
In the third period. Or as John calls
it, why won't
Mikheyev.
He resign, basically? Why don't you take the contract we're offering you? We love
right.
you.
Why would you want to leave here? Mm-hmm. But it's at odds with how the Hawks work, right? Because I can make an argument. It's like, you know what? What if you did? You've had Dickinson. You trade him. You have Mikheyev. It's like, hey, why don't we have these vets take the harder roles, the third line checking role, something young kids might not be set up for, and then we can play our skill guys higher up the lineup where they just have to worry about scoring. Except the Hawks don't do that. Like, they have Mikheyev to do these hardships. They had Dickinson. Okay, he's gone now.
They've been doing it to Tavo for 2 years now.
Right. They've basically, until recently, played Tavo in a third line. This is all they do, but then Nick Lardis is still on the fourth line. Oliver Moore was the third center. You're not using the benefit of what veterans are supposed to give you to give these players better roles. I saw a couple skeets or whatever today from the United Center Live. Our guy Dave Melton was there. Saw one or two others. Even the UC faithful have given up on Andre Burakovsky.
He stinks, man.
Like Portage Park's own Andre Burakovsky. They're not involved anymore.
What a bum.
But he gets to skate with Connor Bedard all year.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a travesty.
So
tonight he made another just perfect pass right to him, and he stands there, doesn't do anything, and then back passes it to a pinching Crevier. Like, what is that? What was that?
I don't
even
know.
The broadcast was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
So
if you have Eddie Olczyk questioning you, you really fucked up.
As a Blackhawk.
As a Blackhawk, yeah. If Eddie Olczyk is like, "I don't know what you're doing," that's a real mistake.
Just awful.
But it's mixed messages, right? If you're putting it out there that we really like Mikheyev and we want him to be here, we think he helps our young players, then why isn't he helping your young players?
He's helping them by killing penalties, which gets them back to even strength where they cannot score a goal.
or get
a shot on net.
Right, were they outchanced in the first period 15-0 or whatever?
It was like
right.
17-5 or something. It was disgusting. It's just, it's like, the thing about it to me is just like the optics or watchability is lower than it was for sure at the beginning of the season by a lot. And I just don't really
It's worse than last year because like they're actually committing to, again, because Blazel's a replacement level NHL coach and Durs is fucking Durs.
Yeah, I just don't really like watching a team get 19 shots on goal over three periods.
It's not like, very exciting.
The I could hear the loudmouth fucking game ops guy during breaks screaming his stupid head off, talking about the season ticket members and how much they love them. I can't believe there's any of you left. What are you guys doing?
Come on now. OPPs.
OPPs.
Bunch of morons. Making the drive from Tinley. Trying not to get shot.
In their minds.
Go back home to your wood-carved American flags.
Right. Even though it's just condos around the United Center now.
No, it's very dangerous, Sam. So scary.
It's like, and it's about to be
a big... I used
to
walk there from my apartment.
Right. It's about to be
drunk.
A park. I walked
like
there with you
drunk.
A couple times.
I'd walk there down Damon. Totally fine.
You and I walked there chasing the bus that Sam's partner
yes,
was on for the fucking Cure show.
That's correct. And I'd do it again.
It's a great apartment.
Thank you. I miss it.
And how many milligrams of edible were in you on that wall?
All of them.
Yeah, quite a few.
Quite a few. John, anything else you want to get off your chest before we dive into what you have promised is a very meaty AFS?
Oh, indeed.
Meet us.
No, I mean nothing that we didn't already discuss. I think the game tonight, this is what troubles me again going back, what they're going to make a big deal, and when I say they, it's, you know, people either affiliated or in loose affiliation with the Blackhawks. You know, it was a 3-2 game in the third period and the game was not even, I mean, it wasn't even close. Until Gustafsson had to go off the ice for whatever reason.
Right. He had to shit out his doo-doo ass.
I assume that's what it was. And that was when the Hawks finally had a shift where they had Minnesota pinned in their own end. And then after that was they got the break off of the bad change from Minnesota. And it's a tie game. And so then everybody's going to say, oh, well, Bedard and Nazar and Lefshunov, they all
10
contributed
to 15
on the
years.
Yeah.
Mark Lazarus.
10 to 15 years. What, again, why are we obsessed with the next 10 years? Every player gets any good player is an automatic shoe-in for 10 to 15 years. Come on now. This is stupid.
Right.
I hate it's one of the most annoying things about sports coverage in general that I find is why is everybody automatically getting a 10 years.
Right.
Because of one good play.
You know who didn't get 10 years and actually has fucking hardware is goddamn Chris Bryant.
Right.
Like, he's got like the hardware. It's like, oh, surefire Hall of Famer. And 5 years later, he can barely walk.
Yeah. 5 years later, who?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing there. He's still cashing a check. Jesus Christ.
Right. Like, you just don't know. You don't know. And especially for a guy who has 11 goals in his second season. You got him penciled in
six mil dough.
You got him penciled in for the next decade. It's ridiculous. And then, you know, the other thing that we talked a little bit on the real show is the Levshunov 22 assists.
Yeah, let's stay there again because that's actually a little higher than I would have guessed.
It was higher for me too, but then after thinking about it, let's
do some work here and see how many of those are primaries.
Okay, what's his
average ice time per game this season?
I'm efforting all that. You talk amongst yourselves. A titmouse is neither a tit nor a mouse. Discuss.
at first when you said it, Sam, that he's got 22 assists, I thought that's surprising. But, you know, it's really not, though. I mean, he's the second overall pick. He's gotten every opportunity all this season. I mean, he's looked completely lost. He did have a stretch going into the Olympics where they basically stopped playing him because he had no idea what he was doing.
Three games.
Right. But, you know, 22 assists, he's playing with the top competition every day. It's not like he's paired up with the maestro or, some other dipshit. I mean, he's getting out there with good players and he's getting power play time. So it's not that surprising. And really, quite frankly, that should be the bare minimum for his pedigree. I mean, he should be a 40-point player at this point in his career.
24, right? Two goals, 22 assists.
Yeah.
You're sort of asking for a point every other game. You know, that would be, you know, eventually Levshunov, like the top defensemen now are close to a point per game. Like the top echelon.
Levshunov's getting just north of 19 minutes a game.
Okay.
Okay.
And then his let's go from rates.
Can I ask something while you're efforting? I don't know if this is easy to find. How many defensemen with that many minutes or more per game have more or fewer assists? I guess fewer assists than him.
Like, I would say it's about middle of the road. Just guessing for anyone playing. A middle pairing. He's only recently been promoted to the quote unquote top pairing.
Is that 19 minutes, all strengths, penalty kill, all that?
Yep.
Yeah.
And six primaries, 16 secondaries.
I'm not trying to take away from him or anything. I think he's had a very difficult season, and I don't think the 22 assists changes my mind.
And the organization's not doing him any goddamn favors.
Well, that's there's tons.
I still think that there's tons there. But he's getting a lot of mixed messages, and the fact that he has shit for brains isn't helping.
I would agree with that.
He should start doing a lot of steroids. That's my answer to everything.
Well, he certainly doesn't have a hairline to worry about with the steroids, so.
All right, so, Slack, you want to know. You asked.
I did.
And so defense's been averaging over 18 minutes per game.
Because there can't be that many.
Well, he is. His 24 points have him 67th.
Okay.
Out of
139. So basically right in the middle.
Middle of the pack. Okay. For a 20-year-old as first. All right. That's fair.
I'll be charitable.
On a shit team.
Right, right. Yeah.
On a terrible team. Okay. But here's what I will say. You know, we'd have to go back through those 22 assists and see, you know, how many of them are really played. And I'm not going to do that. That's fine. I don't need to.
What I will say is that when
he got here in October, when the season started, okay, it was all over the place. It was scatterbrained. It was splatter pattern, whatever. But it was fun. It was exciting. He was trying stuff.
It was a blast.
There was a shift tonight. I think it was right after Gustafsson went to go for a shit.
Needed to have a shite.
And they trapped the Wild out there for about 2 minutes in the offensive zone. And they actually only ended up managing one shot. But that's the time when, if you're the mobile offensive defenseman guy, you're supposed to be moving all over the edge because they can't get to you.
They're too tired. Season for sure.
Right. And now he gets the puck and he just either shovels it to the wing or he stops and tries to open a shooting lane by not moving. There's none of that offensive dash. There's none of that flair. Like, I know I've said he just wanders around and in no particular plan or direction. But you know what? I'd rather have that than the guy who doesn't move.
I think with a guy drafted that high,
you're killing your father, Larry.
Playing in the pros, I think I would expect a defenseman not to have like some cool plays or 22 assists or whatever. I would expect him to contribute to wins, and I don't know that he's done that at all.
I mean,
like I would expect it to be like, oh yeah, because we're winning more games because we have a guy we can deploy who flips the ice and has the puck and blah blah blah. And there, I can't say any of that.
Right.
Or he's a power play stud or whatever. Just something. A superlative.
Oh, his metrics stink.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, I just you can look around the league and you can see other examples of guys who do those things. And most of them are not 20 years old and they're, you know, and barely speak the language and don't know where they're going. But I don't see that yet. And maybe it'll show up at some point, but it's...
Right. And I say this to someone who is... basically embarrassed that I don't speak a second language, and I've never tried to live in a nation where that's not the language. But There seems to be this notion that like Levshinov stepped off the plane right before opening night, you know, and it was like the propeller one from
Lansing
Minsk.
Also,
right? Like he playing hockey in this country for 3 years before this. He was in the USHL. He played a year at Michigan State. He was here last year. It's still got to be hard at 20 years old. Everything's hard at 20 years
Definitely
old.
Definitely hard, yeah.
Hey, buddy. you know, this idea that, like, you know, he showed up to training camp in a bear skin or something. Like, we gotta put that
they
to
had
rest.
To teach him what electricity was.
Okay, right. Like, I'm looking...
unfrozen caveman defenseman.
Yes. Right. I'm looking at something here. Now this will be an entirely different era, but like first three full-ish seasons for this defenseman. First full season, 4 goals, 16 assists, 8 primaries. Second full season, 3 goals, 23 assists, 9 primaries. Third full season, 5 goals, 18 assists, 9 primaries. Might give it away. 2013, the abbreviated, the lockout season, 4 goals, 16 assists in 44 games, eight primaries. Who am I talking about?
Nick Leddy?
Victor Hedman.
Well, that's who he's compared to, right?
In an ideal world.
Also
a number two overall pick.
Didn't he step into some good teams?
Yes.
The early 2000s.
Well, they were a suffer puck team, but they made it. I mean, they were winning games.
Right.
Yeah. And then the big leap was 13-14 was 75 games played, 13 goals, 42 assists, 26 primaries in his fifth year.
Was Cooper there?
That's when I think Cooper took over towards the ass end of that year.
Okay. When did Boucher get fired? And Tockett was in there in the interim, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, Boucher puck was bad.
We know Cooper was there 14-15, 10 goals, 28 assists, 11 primaries, but that was only 59 games.
It was hurt. I mean that's the projection, right? But that's
while also just inhaling people in your own zone.
Yeah, right. he always had the defensive game. There was always flashes.
The mental aspect, yes.
But
yeah, no one ever accused Victor Hedman of being a complete fucking dope.
the game now is just wildly different.
Exactly. Again, it's this is them still trying to win the fucking 2014 Stanley
Cup. Right. I mean, Look, no Islanders fan is sitting around going, well, this is what Victor Hedman has, so we don't have to worry about Matthew Schaefer.
No, they're going, God damn, that Matthew Schaefer is pretty awesome.
What a bunch of Matthew Schaefers. So, yeah, I don't know. And again, even if there was something to be crafted there, we have no faith that the Hawks know how to do that because they never had a player like Victor Hedman.
No, they don't have any track record of development whatsoever. It was, spare me your fucking Alex Vlasic thoughts.
I mean, he's fine.
He's fine, but that's not, like, how much of a development win is that? Like, that was taking a
high second round, right?
If that...
Not even Kyle's second rounder, I don't believe.
Forty-third overall in 2019. No, that was a stand pick, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you turn a high second rounder into a solid second pairing player, that's a win, I'd say. But it's, you know, he's the one in the desert. They're going to tell me Louis Cremier is a development win.
I mean, that was a missile tonight, but like.
Him being able to line up a slapper twice a week does not have an offensive
when you give him 90 seconds to do it.
Right. Like, it's just not. We've done the Louis Cremier thing. All right. John, load it up.
I just pulled it up, Sam. I'm ready for you.
Okay. Does it need any prefacing?
No prefacing whatsoever. Andrew, hope you've read this one, but if not, I feel like you would have mentioned it, but I'm glad we this is for the kids. This is all fresh here. Matt and Sam have no idea we did not talk about this in the real show. So here's the title of the post, Sam. Are you ready?
I don't think
have you seen this?
Am,
have you heard about this? Fucking John Leno over here.
I'm going to chop off your arms. Are you ready?
What would you be willing to give up for knees? Not knees on your legs.
I've seen
Matthew
Knies.
Matthew
Knies. Yeah. No, knees.
Knees.
So then it says James Myrtle wrote in The Athletic about how the Leafs need blue line help and have a limited prospect pool. Two things the Hawks have plenty of. What defenseman and pick would you be willing to let go? So that's the preface. All right.
Should we all go around the horn first before we hear these numbskulls?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you should.
What do we think the price is? I'm sorry.
Myrtle said that they need blue line help. So people with a limited prospect pool. So people, the speculation from this person is, okay, the Hawks have plenty of defensemen. Which ones would you send and which picks would you?
They think it'll take multiple to get Matthew Knies?
Well, that just says pick. It says what defenseman and pick would you be willing to let go? I'm saying
I'll go first. Now, this is the Leafs again. So I think you could probably convince them that Louis Crevier is part of this package. It's the Leafs.
Uh-huh.
He's big. He's stupid. They'll love it.
And he shoots hard.
Too French.
He shoots hard. Yeah, he might be too French. But so I would send them Crevier and this pick.
The first? Well, let's go to Wikipedia. What do they got?
They have an additional first rounder this year, yeah?
It might be theirs.
It might be.
It's the Cats. No, there was the controversy.
That's all right. Yeah. So if they actually hold on to the Cats one, which would be around 11, 12, 13, I'm sending Crevier at the 12th pick, and I think the Leafs do it.
But yeah, but your counteroffer, if they say no thanks, you would be, what defenseman would you be willing to go up? Anybody,
Crevier,
right?
Korchinski and the 12th pick.
Yeah, I would do that. That's about what I was going to say. I might even throw in the Canucks second rounder next year that they've got.
Would you have any issue with getting rid of Sam Rinzell?
Yeah, yes. Just because clearly the team is willing to give Rinzell more rope. Let the record show. I like Korch. He should be here. He should be figuring it out. Maybe he can play. Maybe he can't. We got to know. But clearly the team doesn't, so you might as well get something for him because he's not doing anything right now. But I would not give up Rinzell at
this point. Rinzell for Knies straight up. No picks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Straight up, yes.
Straight
up,
yeah. I think about it.
Okay. Well, here are the freaks. come okay. in now.
See, now I know where this
Andrew,
is going.
Do you have any thoughts on this, sir?
No.
I would not. So, top comment or one of the top comments. If it starts with Rinzel, I'm good. He's arguably our best defensive prospect. Not at all replaceable right now. someone says the obvious answer is Korchinski, but almost worry what type of draft capital would be needed to be attached to get that deal done.
That's what you need. More draft capital.
Yes, you need more draft capital. So many other teams' picks.
Right.
The fuck's the matter with you?
Also, I think it's important to remind people Matthew Nyes is 23. He's like a year older than Rinzel.
Right.
Yeah.
And also been in the league for what, 3 years now?
Two, three
years. Seasons. And with a track record of success.
This is like technically his fourth season.
A baseline of 25 goals per season at least. Yeah. Something that the Hawks have one
this
other
is
guy
only
that
his,
can do.
Yeah, this is his third full season.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Matthew Nyes is a little bit more ouchy than Jason Robertson, but like ideally, like that's a perfect. We talked about this last year. If Kyle had any balls whatsoever to have offer sheeted him, like right. that's
like I'm sure the freaks think Matthew Nyes is some 27, 28 year old winger who's getting ready for his, you know, big payday. He's not. Yeah. He's 23.
And he's and he's cost controlled, which is important. Got to win the Stanley Cup when the fucking cap's going up another $9 million this year.
Right. So anyway,
next comment, Korch West or Clearasil, 2027 top five protected first and probably the Oilers first. I think he's worth more, but anything more and I'm not as happy. Boisvert, Vanacker, etc. could also probably replace any of those previously mentioned and I'd be okay.
I'm yeah, sure you're just
handing them names. A bunch right. of guys who aren't going to play in the NHL.
Honestly, I'm fine with any of that fucking flotsam and jetsam just because I know what Matthew Nyes is. I don't know what any of these other fucking
right.
dopes are.
Who gives a shit?
I'm sure other teams are just chomping at the bit to acquire a prospect who doesn't even play the sport.
Yes.
Sure, they can show him some of his touchdown passes in high school.
Right. Maple Leaf fans really care about Mason West's touchdown passes.
Let's be clear. A nice trade would hurt. He's a 23-year-old power forward who's got 55 points in 63 games and is signed long term.
On a bad team.
Yeah, it starts with Rinzel and a first, and that's only not to get them to hang up. Thing is, you'd probably do it because he's the type of forward they don't have. Yeah, that's like the first comment that's made sense so far.
how many comments down is
and
that?
And of course, the first reply. Am I the only one that thinks it's insane to give up Rinzel to get an Nyes? What does the future blue line look like if you take Sam out of picture? Literally the same as it did whether he's right. in it or not.
It's got your number 2 and number 7 overall picks on it. It's got Vlasic. I mean, it doesn't look as exciting as it did, but it also has Matthew Nyes. I don't know.
Here's a good one. In response to this, you're not insane. If these guys, I'm assuming people that are in favor of making a move for Nyes, if these guys were GM, we'd have a situation like the Oilers with two good lines, cap problems, and no talent on the way from our prospects that have been sold as fodder. Yes,
and two straight cup finals and the best fucking player in the game and the probably third best player in the game.
Awful.
Yeah. Or you could be like Buffalo and get to see all your elite guys succeed as they've left. Apparently this person has not turned on the TV for any game other than a Hawks game this season. Or if he is...
Would hate to be Buffalo right now, too.
Yeah, what really hate to be Buffalo.
Buffalo has had to trade so low two of their Buffalo. Top six in the past few years. Yeah.
Yes, and is probably a potential favorite to at least win a couple rounds in the East this year.
Right.
But I would hate to be them.
Yeah, it would suck.
Okay. And then
Eichel does have a ring elsewhere. That's got to sting a little bit, but...
Yeah, sure. I mean, they'd rather have Jack Eichel than not.
I think they just hate his guts and don't care.
So here's one that I have to read from our guy Schwartz Hockey. Of course, he has the pipe in here.
You've been sitting on this. I don't know how you've been able to sit still all week.
There's one sentence in here in particular that I feel like is going to get everybody.
The Al Yellen of
Pepper's Hot.
Yeah. Okay. So he says, I wouldn't make any trades unless we're absolutely certain a player isn't one we want to roll with long term. Well, Nyes is signed long term, and he's also,
you dumb
like I just said,
he's 23.
Yeah. He has a track record of scoring that nobody else on your team has at this point. I feel there are four defensemen right now that aren't baked enough to decide that yet. Levshinov needs to find consistency. EDM needs to break out of the spare body role. Good luck EDM, with that.
My buddy.
Grez is a question mark for longevity.
What?
I'm assuming
longevity? Grezlik.
Yeah, longevity.
That's not a word.
He's not a question mark for anything. He's a body.
He's literally he's fired.
He's your spare he body role.
He's scenery.
Mentioned. Yes. Yeah. And Korchinski just hasn't seemed to find favor.
Okay.
Plus, we have a bunch of offensive prospects coming up soon that a long term contract occupying roster spots, not knowing how he'd mesh might not be a good thing. Yes, it'd be terrible to have a good player because you're not going to sure if he's going to mesh with the other players who
that
may
can
not
play
be good.
Either wing. And he is let's see his size here. Yeah, 6'3", 230. Who
can't mesh?
Can't mesh.
By the way, was one of the last cuts for the gold medal team. Like,
and probably won't be next time.
And won't be next time. But no, we got to wait for these other players. We don't know if they're good to see if they mesh.
He might not be able to mesh, but John Mustard will.
And guaranteed. Again, this is taking up. His hit is 775
That's one less dead body you have to sign.
Right. Exactly. And that's less than, 6% of your fucking cap when it goes up to 100 and goddamn 7 mildo.
Even the Maple Leafs know how to play this game because they've got Matthew Nyes, a proven 25-30 goal scorer at 23, making 7.7. Meanwhile, the Hawks signed 11 goal scorer Frank Nazar to 6.7, right?
He needs his swag, so... We're waiting for his swag to come back.
Maybe you can talk to Nyes about a mortgage. You know, they're in the same spot.
So here's another good one, which actually I feel like a normal person would not take it. So it's a simple comment. Frondell 1-for-1 feels pretty close. And of course, this guy gets downvoted to Bolivia for even mentioning that.
But they want defensemen, allegedly.
Right.
Allegedly.
But I mean, that's the type of. You know, that's your quote unquote hockey trade. If you had a scouting department that had any sort of inclination that Frondell might not be who you thought he was a year ago, now that you've had a closer look at him, that would be the sort of trade that you would make because you would say,
Frondell is never going to come close to what fucking Boivert you know, 4 months ago, knowing what we know. Is that actionable to talk on or no, Sam?
Okay. Nope.
So Frondell for 1-for-1 feels pretty close. Why in the world would we do that? LOL. That's the problem. We don't have any standards. The vast majority of places don't view growing the player as a good thing.
Grow the man.
Yeah. You'd rather have to develop a guy multiple years than have a developed guy. I'm not saying there's no value in seeds. I'm saying we value seeds like they're plants. Then there's like a whole thing about gardening here.
What's happening?
Leaves is plants, dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fuck the plant. That's what Seth Rogen taught me in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Someone saying Rinzell in a first that is, of course, downvoted to Bolivia. That's an overpay. The if it's two firsts, it's Korch, not Rinzell. Okay. The Hawks literally have so many draft picks, it doesn't even matter.
Other than their top pick this year, and even that one, you could argue, the picks just shouldn't matter at this point. Any team should be able to come to them and be like, "Give it. We want picks." And the Hawks should be like, "Which one?
Yeah,
enjoy
whatever you want.
Go with God.
Go with God here. Like, if you get like the top three pick, you could say like, depending on what you're negotiating. But for Nyes, say, look, this year's top three can't have it. Anything else, the other first rounder, go ahead. You need another second rounder? Sure. What do I care? I got more of these.
Here, have like, the Oilers like pick. Have the fucking Cats pick.
The picks are funny money at this point.
Not to Kyle. Well, and this is the thing that is so fucking aggravating is these are supposed to be so fucking precious and like and hung on to, and yet even if all they were offering was some kind of fucking pick for Mikheyev or Grizz or whatever, Why not take that then? That's supposed to be the most valuable thing. Then fucking take that, because the rest of this season's garbage.
McCabe doesn't want to play here.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That covers it. But I know, Sam, you love your hypotheticals.
We love to roster bait, don't we, folks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like Nyes is going to be out there if you want him. If you want him bad enough, you can get him.
Well, especially
as last offseason with Paterka being out there. And what did he end up costing? Not much.
Well, and the other thing is, too, with the Leafs is, again, guy who the Hawks should have been in on is fucking Michelli. This was a walk year for him. He's RFA. You throw him in, too. Fuck it. He's only 25.
Sorry, there's nobody to get.
Paterka, John, cost Josh Doan and Michael Kesslering. So that's Mustard and... I mean, both of these guys are NHL ready, so that's... That's more in green, basically.
Okay.
Maybe Doan's a little better than that, but like you could have thrown a third part in there. You had the pieces for that, yeah.
Right.
You have the pieces for everything. if someone just wants bulk back, unless you are doing player for fucking player, hockey trade, money for money, you can make
and your chicks
any,
for free.
You can do any fucking trade.
Anyways, that concludes America's favorite segment. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. That's it. I don't know if Andrew had anything from America's favorite segment. I know he's chumming the waters this week, so
Slag likes to poke the bear in there. That's for sure.
I do.
So does John,
but nothing for me today.
Okay. All right, then. Well, we will get... I mean, there's no Bears stuff we have to get to, right?
No, the Bears are in the box, and everybody should keep them there. And they're going to be more mentally healthy if they do so.
But Dio Adengbo is motivated. That's what we need to remember.
Yeah.
All offseason.
I don't understand where this is. People are getting in a tizzy about the Bears all of a sudden in their offseason. What? Just listen to our show. Listen to a couple episodes when we talked about the free agency. It's fine.
Yeah. That's
put
not
them in
how
the box.
You do it.
Yeah.
Plug some holes. Do it through the draft. Develop.
Right.
Here we go.
Yeah. You don't want to bring back all the same players from the 31st ranked defense, do you?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I would have liked to have Kevin Byard, but like if you have to spend money elsewhere, like that's a tough choice.
That's a sacrifice you make.
Ask Andrew about bringing back Gary Gaetti.
Yeah, he's the Gary Gaetti candidate. No thanks. Can't do it.
Can't trust Jaquan, so he's gone. You can't trust him.
No.
So.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Fucking annoying.
Flappy Bird.
You've done your bit. Get lost.
Right. I mean, if they've upgraded on Kevin Byard with COVID.
Absolutely.
So now I just got to find the other guy. And they can do that. They actually know how to. They seem to know how to draft safeties. The only time I get worried is when they start drafting defensive linemen. And that's what they need. So that's what I'm worried about. But we'll do that show at the end of April.
Yeah.
If they have a draft success rate like last year, I got nothing to worry about.
Got nothing to worry about. All right. Well, John, I'm not going to make you do it now. But, you know, next week. White Sox corner is going to have to be open.
Oh, okay.
And so will Cubs corner, even if I have to do it.
You're banned.
I will hang up.
So that's fine. That's fine.
Well, and what
I'm
we're doing,
in, I'm
what
back
we're doing
in the shed this year.
Baseball
you can
corner.
Look for me on the Pointless Exercise podcast from time to time. So there
talking,
you go.
Talking Cub?
Talking Cub.
Wow.
Also, Viva Venezuela. How about that?
Indeed.
Yep.
I am back in the fold, John.
Dan,
gonna enjoy this last baseball season before they cancel the sport in December.
Seeing this Team Venezuela coaching staff is triggering me on so many levels right now.
Miggy must be tough for you.
He's like at the bottom of the list, Sam. You got Johan Santana. You got Victor Martinez up there.
Oh boy, that's
this is bad.
That's tough.
Bad.
It feels like just based on the players they have that we really underestimated Venezuela coming into this tournament.
I mean.
They have some absolute studs.
It's like I mean,
they have
the
third
semifinal.
Most players in the majors, but behind obviously the U.S. And the DR. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I was watching the semifinal. Eugenio, we drove in the winning run tonight, and he homered in the semifinal. Correct? Yes, that's correct. And I was thinking, you know, now that I'm more interested in watching the Cubs, I am not more interested in watching annoying Eugenio Suarez
homers. He's going
to
hit 18 home runs against the Cubs this year.
They're all in the seventh inning or later.
I am not looking forward to it.
Was he playing for
the 11th and 12th
Cincinnati.
Run? The 11th and 12th run.
Yes.
Yep, you're going home. They're always the 11th and 12th run in a comeback 12-10 Reds win.
I do, like, there is a little sickness to those games in Cincinnati where it's like 88 degrees, right. It's 6 p.m. start, it rained earlier.
So it's 130% humidity.
It's you those know. Are fine. Yeah, it's always like
the sky looks like sherbet.
Yep.
Right.
It's fun. You know, you're going to get multiple games like that every season.
Absolutely.
And I'm fine with it.
And yeah, and he's going to be back there. It's just going to be like, it's like time stopped. And there's Eugenio Suarez.
Is he at third or is he DHing?
I think they're going to play him at third.
Well,
yeah, the Reds didn't pay him all that money to DH. It's the Reds.
So. Anyway, all right. To our guy, Mike Jacoby, yes, it is fine if Venezuela wins tonight. They did. So there you go.
And they're waiting their invitation to the White House.
Oh, and Salvador Perez is up there, too, to, if you wanted to know if I was even bad. More triggered. Yes.
Bad.
Well, he's bad. Talk about Eugenio Suarez hitting a 11th and 12th run in a 10-run comeback. By the way, Sam, you mentioned this at the beginning, and I didn't get a chance
Someone's
to...
Someone's going to groove him a fastball, even though that's been the worst idea in the world for the past 10
right.
fucking years.
Yeah. Flailing about at any breaking ball within the area code. And we're going to challenge
97,
him with a 95.
Yeah, 97 at the letters.
Yep.
Go get him. You mentioned, God.
You mentioned the Wild. This was their 18th consecutive victory versus the Blackhawks. And that right. was not a joke.
No, it is.
No, it is.
It is.
Yes. I'm ready for Sox Corner now so that we can talk about the Royals and the Twins and the Guardians having the same type of winning streaks against the White Sox.
You're prepped.
Yes. Anyways.
Our guy, Shard Circuit, do you hate anything as much as John Smoltz hates baseball? Ah,
I do.
I
do.
Oh,
yeah, but you're walking bile. I'm trying to think. I mean, I...
Starring Joe Don Baker.
I'll tell you what. This band Geese is right racing up the charts. I saw they were on the Lollapalooza, and I've never heard a note.
I've got the not interested sign out.
Oh, Matt, you'd hate it more than I do.
They play them on XMU once an hour,
right? Because Matt, you don't even like. I like Radiohead. You don't. So this band will just drive you up a wall. They're playing a lot, and there's actually a lot of bands I want to see, and I'm hoping they all play after shows. But if Geese is on the same day as like all the bands I'd want to see, then I wouldn't go. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near them.
They were playing in my backyard. I'd close the shades, Terry.
I'd close the shade. Yeah. AJ had one for me and Slack, and I think that's all I got tonight. Texas Death, too much or no?
No.
I would say no, but this would be, you know, I thought about it. I'd say this is the last one I'd want to see for a while, but this is also the first one they've done in almost a year.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see one for quite some time. I think, yeah, no chance.
Until they changed it to sort of improv a dog collar match, I was like, this is feeling a little off. And
yeah,
then
they picked it up.
Yeah, so, anyway, yep.
Yep.
I would say no, but, you know, be careful, I guess. If Hangman's going to be out of the title picture for a while, no one else is going to do this match.
No.
So.
He's just going to, he's like Marilyn Manson in the Onion article. He's going door to door asking for Texas death matches.
Okay. Dwayne Jetsky, who I believe might be a first timer. He's the one who asked about Frondell Kancerov. He had a second one.
First crap.
Good luck with the free. How much does Slack really love Bois Vert? So,
not as much as he loves Tears for Fears.
I don't know what am I supposed to be excited about with this guy?
I don't know.
For him to punch somebody.
They're telling me all he can do is like punch people and usually his own team.
Usually his own team. So
just piss off the coach or whatever.
That's
so,
two.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure Blaziel will suffer no fool here, so good luck to him. And see you in Rockford, I guess, for the next 2 years, probably.
Oh, he's going to get NHL games here, and then he'll start
this year. Yes, next year, no way.
No way.
No way.
All right, that's all I got, Matt. Do you have anything on the main feed?
Yeah, we got a couple two tree.
Okay.
Vertel.
Oh God.
Would
Live
like to
from
know.
Denmark.
Who would be a better narrator for a televised bodice ripper? John Lovitz playing Evelyn Quince, Tales of Ribaldry, or Matthew Berry playing himself.
What on earth is that?
You are an interesting, weird man.
The answer is Matthew Berry.
Yeah.
Even though John Lovitz, he must have sensed in the forest that we were discussing John Lovitz yesterday or the day before in the radio show.
Right. Yeah.
Which I will not make that comparison on air.
Vertel lives in the forest. What can I say? Did you guys see the clip of the video they played at the Oscars before the broadcast started of Matthew Berry doing the announcements?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Of course, Sam.
I'm sorry. Because Emma Stone was too polite to tell you to fuck off. All right, what's next?
Henny88, Michael Leach. A lot of fans are arguing about the combinations, the line combinations, especially Lardis being on the forest, as are we. For us, what should the lines look like between now and the end of the season?
Oh, God.
Well, Sam, you've argued for, with the departure of Jay Dick, that Green should get some burn at center in a checking role just to see if that's something he can handle.
Here's what I will say, though. Ryan Green's also probably the best guy along the wall, which is what Bedard requires. So actually, my top line would be Green, Bedard, and Lardis for the next 10 games. I don't think there's Tavo, Bertuzzi, and Nazar, fine, whatever. And beyond that, who cares? Does it matter?
Burakovsky, go home. You're hurt.
Burakovsky can go home and,
They need to TJ Brody his ass.
Yeah.
He's got another year left, right?
He's got another year.
Yeah.
And they need it. Gotta hit the floor.
Gotta hit the floor. Might as well.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
While we're here, let's go to the buyout calculator and kill some
time. And also, I've been very clear on what I think the pair should be. It should be Vlasic, Rinzel, Levchinov, Kaiser, Crevier, Korchinski. That's what it should have been in October. That's what it should be now. But I've lost that fight.
Now, when did Crevier get taken off the top pair? And why did that happen?
Like tonight.
I was told that him and Vlasic were so good together that they rank in the top
131st.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was a switch made tonight.
Oh, okay.
You can well
should be
yeah,
permanent.
You can we'll yeah see. that'll be that'll open a slot if you buy out Burakovsky. It's $3 million this year, $1.25 million next. So, yeah, might as well.
All right, what's next? Excuse me.
The armored loincloth at Hawks Coroner.
We really cultivate a special kind of weirdo.
Foligno is going to be hired by the Blue Jackets, not the Hawks, right? Right?
I think Columbus is so sick of his shit, they don't want him anywhere near there.
So is Seth Jones.
I was really hoping that the Hawks were going to get mooned tonight just so that Foligno could go into the locker room and yell at them some more for not competing hard enough.
The hall.
Yeah.
By the way, fucking Ben Pope, God damn it. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I've warned you about Ben Pope.
This is I'm not even reading it. Just seeing the art, like, how many goddamn times do you need to write the Nick Foligno is gone?
Yeah.
Column. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. What, they showed the graphic today? You played 189 games and hit 86 points. Who gives
Thank you
a
for your
shit?
Service.
For three last place teams.
Thank you
Take
for your service,
hike.
Sir.
He's one of the biggest losers in NHL history.
I mean, I know this is what teams do now. They all race to make their welcome back and thank you package. And, like, I'm not going to sit here. I'm surprised.
Give everyone the anti-Ranta treatment. Keep his name off the fucking cup.
Right, but, like...
Bitch.
Everyone is giving Foligno a standing ovation. I just want to know, what are you cheering? They didn't win.
And on St. Patrick's Day, you're cheering an Italian. What the fuck? Sorry.
They didn't win.
Sorry. Sorry.
He didn't play well. He wasn't good.
There were zero memorable games that he was a part of.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very bizarre thing. I don't get it. But it's a thing. Apparently,
it's Big Dad energy. We just don't get it.
We don't.
All right.
It's really weird, though. I'm trying to think of a similar comp. I guess, like, who was a really memorable Cubs player on some bad teams?
Mark Grace.
Mark Grace was around for a while.
Yeah, and he came through the program.
He also was in the playoffs.
He also played on two playoff teams. He also really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's – yeah, that's not a good –
Again, would
good.
You, no, I'm you, talking would about you like, have given fucking Marty LaPointe a standing O?
It's the same thing, isn't it?
It would have been like Reed Johnson.
Right.
Yeah, I think the point is
Connor Murphy will get one, but at least he was here 9 years.
I don't care. I don't care.
Right.
God.
Just unmemorable teams, bad teams, bad memories. We booed the fuck out of Adrian Acoin. He didn't get no video return when he.
I would have booed the fuck out of goddamn Foligno tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, people would have been looking at you like you're insane. That would have been fun.
Like when I booed the shit out of Lori Lightfoot at the Red Stars game.
Yes, he did. Like, now, if Foligno had just come here and served his time, like Burakovsky's doing or whatever, right? Been the same player, but he wasn't captain and rarely talked to the press. Does he get... But the same production on the ice, the exact same. Is there a video package?
Do you think there was video packages when Cam Russell came back to the Hawks?
Well, it wasn't a thing back then. It's a thing now.
Would they retroactively go back and make a video package for Cam Russell?
I would.
McDonough would have.
I mean, there was Cam Russell Knight out there. I've told that story, but
the one highlight would have been when he missed a wide open net versus the Wings in the conference final. That would have been his
oh,
video
package.
No,
that package. Was Phil Russell. I'm sorry.
And then getting his brains beaten in every fight that he ever had.
You still think about that open net, don't you?
Of course. And Gerald
Diddick. It's like Gene Lamont's lineup in 93.
And Gerald Diddick getting a breakaway in game two.
I wonder if we're pining for a return from Alexei Zhamnov. Does everybody wish he could come back and do a little victory lap?
The Buffalo Grove PD sure is.
The only time that it felt good that Zhamnov, I think when he came back, was when the Hawks got good again. If the Hawks were shit and they brought him back, Everybody would be fucking miserable.
But which number would he wear? He wore like 7. Yeah. He wore 36, 26,
games for the Hawks.
13.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a graph guy.
He is 38th all time in games played for the Blackhawks.
I don't remember any of them.
And again,
exactly. And you'll remember even fewer Nick Foligno games, who doesn't even crack the top.
No, I'll actually
50.
Remember. I'll remember them because of just how loud he was afterwards.
Do you know who played more games for the Hawks than Nick Foligno? Philip Kurashev.
Oh, he got a video package.
Did he?
Yeah, of course he did.
Did David Kampf get one? He's on the list.
No.
No, don't recall that.
That's our Kampf. Sorry. I'm trying to delete
it. How about Mackenzie Entwistle? Was he going to get one when he comes back? Because he's played more games than Nick Foligno did in a Hawks jersey.
See, that I'm genuinely surprised by.
That's it.
That's
the
hilarious.
List, there are 187 players who played more games in a Blackhawk sweater than Nick Foligno, including Jim Cummins, Dominic Kubalik.
Yeah, no, that scans. But Mackenzie Entwistle, that's a surprise.
Adam Brown.
That.
Sorry, that guy's from like the 50s. Jean-Yves LaRue played more games than Nick Foligno did.
Well, yeah, he's way better.
Yeah, he rules.
I love Jean-Y LaRue.
So did Steve Pops, who also is better than Nick Foligno.
How would you like to be Steve Pop?
Ryan Vandenbush played more games than Nick Foligno.
By cracky.
How about Jim Vandermeer?
Oh, good question.
Way more.
Yeah, I would think he played more. A lot, yeah. Frantic Sex Kucera, also on the list.
Frantic Sex. He was a guy you could sub in on NHLPA 93.
He
exactly
was,
right.
Yeah.
Number six.
Right. Well, I think Frantic Sex is a good jumping off point.
All right.
Well, we tried. We did our best. That's all we can do. Jeff Chance. you're gonna keep saying his names all week. All right. Well, first lack. For John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share, and subscribe to the newsletter. Until next week, when I think we'll probably just end up doing the same show again. But White Sox and Cubs Corner, season preview.
So it won't be the... Yeah, it won't
be
the
it'll
be
a different
show.
The second half will be a different show.
John might be inclined to take my 100-loss dinner bet this time.
We're going to do a we're going to do the schedule preview. We're going to run through all 162 games for both teams.
What is the 100-loss bet that you bet they will lose 100?
Yeah, I'm always going to take the over on the hundo.
I don't think they're going to lose 100 this year.
They still could.
Yeah.
They could, but...
how many did they lose last year?
I feel like the vibes and juice are changing a little bit, but they're still going to stink.
104-ish.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to stink, but that doesn't mean they have to lose 100 games.
The vibes and juice are changing, yeah.
Vibes, 102.
They're having a good spring, Sam, damn it. Do you,
Sam, damn it, when did he start hosting the show?
You effort this for me in the week that we have off. When was the last time the Sox had a winning record in spring training?
Now you're talking about games that don't matter.
Right, but
let the record show. I want all the kids to know that John was texting me the very first spring training game. He was texting all of us about the Sox hot bats.
Yeah. Well, that was just
He's ready to go.
That was just to get you riled up, because I know you love your hot bats.
I love my hot bats. Even though the Cubs just lost their hot bat, Seiya is not going to start the season on time, I believe I read. All right, that's enough of this stuff. We're out. Top guys, out.